Brandon Smith joining us live now from Moscow. The United Russia Party seems to have been holding on to its majority. One would imagine that's not much of a surprise in Russia.
No, it isn't, Rob. It was essentially panned out as it was predicted. We've got now 97% of the vote counted, according to the leaderboard behind me, the Central Election Commission, and we're hearing from a parade of observers invited by the Russian government, who've all essentially said the same thing, that the vote was open and transparent. And I've just heard the Venezuelan delegate describe this as a festival of democracy. That is not what the opposition would describe it as, nor the independent monitoring group Golos, who have counted widespread allegations of irregularities, of people being stopped from counting the vote, challenges of counting the vote. And particularly unusual here in Moscow is the fact that the results of electronic voting still have not been released in this city. You would think that electronic voting would be instant, but while the results have been unofficially leaked, they have not been officially confirmed. It's in Moscow where some of the anti-United Russian candidates, those candidates who are identified as benefiting from tactical voting, are thought to have benefited here in the hope of displacing United Russia candidates. We've not had the final tally on how they've done yet, and it's unusual that this e-voting result has not yet been published. And remember, before a vote was cast in this election, the odds were set against any opposition candidates. Any serious candidates were either barred from voting, they were jailed, or they were exiled. So everything was weighed in favour of United Russia winning. The Kremlin wanted it to retain its supermajority, and that has happened.
Bernard, thanks very much indeed. Bernard Smith talking to us from Moscow. Let's bring in Dmitry Babich. He's a political analyst with Rossiya Sovodnya. That's a news media company. He's joining us by Skype from Moscow. Good to have you back with us on Al Jazeera. What does this dip in support for United Russia tell us about how people are feeling in Russia at the moment?
Well, at the last election in 2016, United Russia got 6% more than today. It got 54%, and now it's between 48 and 49%. Well, the so-called constitutional majority was possible because United Russia won in a lot of so-called single-mandate constituencies, where people are voting for a person, not for a party list. Well, that's understandable because most of the governors, most of the state officials are United Russia members, and its electoral list this time was headed by our foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, who is a pretty popular person. The fall in the sympathy for United Russia, these 6%, I think is explained by some unpopular measures that President Putin had to take, and United Russia supported them, such as pension reform, raising the pension age, which is, I think, a necessity in the modern world. And the anti-COVID measures were not very popular in Russia, even though, of course, Russia was a lot more liberal about its anti-COVID measures than the countries of Western Europe or the United States. If you compare Moscow now to Paris or Berlin, Moscow is a much freer city. But, of course, people did not like anti-COVID measures. And the United Russia had to pay a price, not a very high one, although.
As we heard from Bernard Smith there, official observers are saying that this vote was transparent, and yet also we've heard about opponents being barred from running prior to the elections. We've heard critical media, non-government organizations being targeted. How tough does that make it for Russia to persuade the rest of the world that its elections are free and fair?
Well, the European Parliament, unfortunately, already declared this election unfair before it even started. And also the European Parliament called our government a kleptocracy in its statement. Well, when people read it in Russia, even those who are critical of the government, they do not agree with this kind of attitude from the West, because, after all, we want to be treated as equals, we want to be treated as a normal country. This kind of attitude, I am better than thou because I am democratic, Russians view it as a new form of racism. So I think it was a mistake on the side of the West to behave like that. And of course, there were some exaggerations, like Le Monde, the formerly leading French daily, said that not a single opposition candidate took part in the vote. That's clearly not true. Even if we take the radical anti-Putin politicians, I saw a lot of them on the ballot. One of them, Alena Popova, was running in my electoral district. The person who won in my district was actually the one suggested by Mr. Navalny's smart voting machine. The problem is that he is a communist and he is a Stalinist. So I, for example, could not vote for him. But obviously, some people who wanted to protest had this opportunity to protest. So in general, I would say that the voters in Russia during these 3 days, they could not make a revolution. They were prevented from making a revolution, but they could send a message to the government, and they sent the message. The fact that the parties that did best, including the communists, are the ones demanding more social aid to population, more attention for the families, more attention for the poor. The leftist program is obviously getting more popular in Russia. And that was the message that the voters could send to the government, and they sent it to the government during this vote.
We appreciate you being with us, as always, on Al Jazeera. Dmitry Babych, thank you very much indeed.